You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
When the National Cancer Act was signed by President Nixon in 1971, Memorial Sloan Kettering, America's leading cancer research center, came under pressure to find a cure. Dr. Kenematsu Sugiura, one of the most experienced scientists there, ran tests on an unconventional therapy called Laetril, and early results looked promising, but the FDA ruled in 1978 that Laetril had no benefit whatsoever in treating cancer. When Ralph W. Moss was hired by Sloan Kettering as a science writer, his first assignment was to write a biography of Dr. Sugiura. What happened next is the subject of a new film that's directed by Eric Merola called Second Opinion, Laetril at Sloan Kettering. It opens this Friday at Cinema Village. I'm very pleased that it brings Ralph W. Moss to our show today. And Mr. Moss also has written a book called Doctored Results, which is published by Equinox. Tells the companion book to the film?
Correct.
Now, you majored in classics at Stanford. How did you wind up becoming a science writer at a leading cancer research center?
Well, in the spirit of the times, even though I was deep into classics, I felt that I needed something more relevant and engaged to really excite my passion. And Sloan Kettering had a job opening as science writer, and I basically sold myself to them by saying, I know nothing about science or medicine, so therefore I'm the perfect candidate to be your science writer.
That appealed to them.
Yes.
The clean slate approach.
Correct.
How old were you when you
30.
Took the job? You say that part of the job was to respond to letters from the public. Is that where you first learned about Laetril?
I first heard about it on a 60 Minutes broadcast a few months before, but I became aware of it as a living issue when I was called upon to answer these letters, many of which were quite angry in tone and accusatory in tone. And we
accusing what?
Well, there was a feeling that the medical establishment was dragging its feet in terms of either testing it or using it in people, because a lot of people already thought it was a cure for cancer.
It's also known as amygdalin, but it's really a chemically modified form of amygdalin?
Originally it was, but by the time it got to be tested at Sloan Kettering, it was simply amygdalin. It should have been pure amygdalin.
And it comes from the kernels of apricots, peaches, and almonds?
Correct, bitter almonds.
The film opens with a disclaimer that anyone suffering from cancer should not stop taking their prescribed treatment after seeing the film. Why did the filmmakers feel that it was necessary to include that?
Well, I was the one who really insisted on it, because it is still unproven in terms of its human effectiveness. I mean, I know a lot of people who feel they were helped by it, but when lives are at stake, you want to really go with proven treatments, and it's not proven yet.
And the tests seem to indicate that it really hasn't worked in most cases, although people disagree on that.
Yeah. I would say from my experience, it's not an effective treatment for advanced stage 4 cancer, but it has a lot of promise and potential in terms of preventing recurrences of cancer.
Isn't it often described as quack therapy and banned in the United States? The American Cancer
Right.
Society, the FDA, the National Cancer Institute all agree that there's no available scientific evidence to support claims that Laetril is effective in treating cancer, and they all claim that there have been several cases of cyanide poisoning linked to its use. Are they all wrong about Laetril?
Well, it's
they're pretty impressive organizations.
Right. It's a one-sided view. As far as the testing of Laetril, there only was one clinical trial, which was a phase 2 trial, and it did show some efficacy. But that efficacy was because it wasn't a comparison with any other treatment. That was dismissed as no better than placebo. But I don't agree with that.
The National Cancer Institute studied it in 1978 through a retrospective case review. That's a study that looks back at cases from the past. And they sent letters to more than 400,000 doctors, other practitioners, asking them to submit positive results from cases involving Laetril. An estimated 75,000 people in the United States had taken it, but only 93 positive cases were submitted, and only 6 of those was there any evidence of significant tumor shrinkage.
True. But I'm not sure that I'd have to review those the last numbers you just gave. But
well, that's what the NCI says.
Yeah. You can interpret that in a number of ways. Most people who were involved with Laetrile didn't want to submit their names to the FDA or the NCI because they didn't trust them. What that study said to me was some people did have remissions of cancer after taking Laetrile, but we don't know the exact percentage. It's as I said, it's probably small because in advanced cancer, I don't think this alone is a powerful agent.
Well, that isn't really statistically significant because sometimes people have remission for reasons that have nothing to do
True.
With the drugs they're taking.
True.
Why were you asked to write about Dr. Sugiura?
Because
Am
of
I
his
pronouncing his name very, right?
Sugiura, mm-hmm. Because of his very long and distinguished career of more than 60 years duration at Sloan Kettering.
He was one of the co-inventors of chemotherapy, so
That's
he was
right.
one of the more respected people there.
I would say there was nobody more respected in the field of cancer research.
And isn't the concept of Laetrile based on the same idea as chemotherapy, that you're poisoning the cancer cells?
Correct.
So is that what got him interested in this?
No, he was given an assignment. I don't think he got interested. I think he was asked to do this study.
But you seem to also suggest that Sloan Kettering wanted you to keep tabs on Dr. Sugiura.
Mm-hmm. My boss did.
That's because they were suspicious of what he was doing?
No. I think that in public affairs, we wanted to be ready for any controversy or scandal, and this was looming as a potential problem. So I think my boss was happy that I had formed a friendly relationship with him.
Because they knew that he was working with Laetrile.
Correct.
Now, there are lots of different cancers, and they don't all respond to treatments in the same way. What kinds of cancers was he testing for?
Breast cancer that had spread to the lungs of the animals, and also leukemia.
Now, you say animals because he was doing his experiments on mice.
Correct.
Isn't it common that what's effective on mice and other animals isn't always effective on human beings?
True. Yeah, that's
so it could have been promising, but Laetrile may be the most effective drug for ending breast cancer in mice, but that wouldn't mean
didn't
much.
End it. It didn't end it. Didn't cure them, but it stopped the spread of the disease from the breast to the lungs.
What was the reaction from Sloan Kettering when Dr. Sugiura found positive test results from using
initially, it was highly positive. It stayed positive for about 2.5 years. And then under pressure from the powers that be in the cancer field, it abruptly turned negative in March of 1975.
Did Sloan Kettering ever try to set up a clinical trial of Laetrile?
They did. They tried to set one up at the 20th of November Hospital in Mexico City, but that was shot down by the combination of the National Cancer Institute, the Food and Drug Administration, and the American Cancer Society.
Have there been any peer-reviewed studies in the United States that show that Laetrile can be effective in treating cancer or isn't effective in
treating
cancer?
Well, my interpretation of the Phase 2 clinical trial that was run by Dr. Mortel at the Mayo Clinic is that between 20 and 26% of the patients had a beneficial effect in terms of quality of life in that trial. I don't think they used pure Laetrile in the trial, and they dismissed that, let's call it 26% benefit, as no better than placebo. But other drugs were subsequently approved by the FDA for having a 26% improvement on quality of life.
My guess is Ralph W. Moss, who has written a book called Doctored Results, The Suppression of Laetrile at Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research. He's featured in a new film called Second Opinion, Laetrile at Sloan Kettering, which opens this Friday at Cinema Village. On July 2nd, 1974, Sloan Kettering went to Washington to talk to the Federal Drug Administration about Laetrile. What was the outcome of that meeting?
Well, I think that they were given a bunch of promises in terms of what could and should be done with further testing of Laetrile, and it all seemed very promising still at that point. And all the top four leaders were all on board with going ahead with testing it.
And then there was a second meeting in 1975.
In March of 75.
And what happened then?
That was the coup de grace. That's where they were basically told that they would not be allowed to do a clinical trial in Mexico on quality of life or spread of cancer.
The FDA says it's cracked down on the use of Laetril because it can give terminally ill people a sense of false hope. Is there room for alternative cancer therapies alongside conventional medicine?
Absolutely. Especially when they're used in an intelligent way in combination with conventional treatment, and we call that integrative oncology. There are studies to show that there is a better outcome when you do that than with conventional treatment.
But we don't know whether there's a placebo effect here, do we?
Correct.
In 1977, Newsweek estimated that almost 70,000 Americans were going across the border to Mexico to obtain Laetril. I don't know what the numbers are these days. Are you saying they're similar?
No, very few.
Because Laetril has been pretty much, it's still available in Mexico, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And in Germany.
When the war on cancer was declared in 1971, did that raise hopes that a cure was just around the corner?
Absolutely. The government really was responsible for unrealistically raising those hopes, because the national, at the time of the passage of the National Cancer Act, December 1971, they more or less said they were going to cure some major forms of cancer in time for the bicentennial. Well, of course, the bicentennial was only four or five years away, and nothing happened. Nothing happened, except the funding was put in place, and then it just continued year after year.
Another statistic, the National Cancer Institute did a clinical study. After 3 months, 90% of the patients with cancer got worse, and within a year, less than 20% of them were still alive.
You're talking about the Mortel study?
Yes.
At Mayo Clinic. Well, as I say, you know, you can... I don't think Laetril can be successfully tested in stage four cancer patients, because my belief is not that it cures cancer. I think it, if we go by Segura's studies, the best studies done so far, it stops the spread of certain kinds of cancer and probably improves quality of life, which is what it did in 20 to 26% of the patients in that study. That's what when I was
so
just talking
one quarter.
About. Yeah.
How did the John Birch Society get caught up in the Laetril movement?
Well, neither of the big parties was willing to take this on seriously, much less to champion it. And when one of the Birch Society doctors got indicted in California, John Richardson, for using Laetril, that mobilized the John Birch Society in California and then became sort of a nationwide thing.
That couldn't have helped the cause for Laetril.
It was the
in
double,
some people's minds, anyway.
The double whammy, you know. It was quackery endorsed by an extreme right-wing group. Yeah, no, it didn't work too well.
In the documentary, you say Sloan Kettering is not an academic institution. What kind of institution is it?
Well, so it's an independent research institution. When I say not an academic, it's not part of a university. It's affiliated with Cornell across the street, but strictly speaking, it's not an academic. Therefore, it didn't offer any kind of protections like tenure to its employees. At least when I was there,
it's also a hospital.
It's a hospital.
People with
it's
cancer
a combination.
Go there for treatment.
It's a combination of Memorial Hospital and Sloan Kettering Institute.
You say if science is mutable depending on the moment, then it ceases to be relevant. Are you arguing that Sloan Kettering was playing with the facts to push their own agenda?
They were playing with the facts to protect the institution and to protect their own careers, yes.
And why would they want to do that if there was a potential that this would work? Wouldn't an aspiring scientist hope to win a Nobel Prize if they could cure or even prevent some cancers from spreading?
Except that this had already, as you know, as we indicated, it already had sort of a double whammy on it. It was already a discredited treatment that many top leaders of the medical field had gone on record as saying was worthless. And so to try to promote that or try to investigate that, that was really off limits.
You say that you were told to keep quiet about Dr. Segura's research into Laetril.
Mm-hmm.
Who told you to keep quiet?
my boss and the other people who were his, you know, his superiors. And I mean, it was a general policy that we actually were defending statements that were indefensible made by the top leadership, and I had no authority to speak, you know, for the institution, but I knew more or less what was going on, and it goes beyond not talking about it. It's actually I was ordered to make false statements about it.
And then you decided to leak Dr. Sugiura's research notes to the New York Times?
Correct.
How long after you were told to keep quiet did you do that? You see yourself as a whistleblower here?
Well, I was. I was a whistleblower. It was about a year after I became aware of the positive results that I tried to leak them to
the
New York Times.
What was the fallout from that?
Not good. Basically, Jane Brody wrote an article in the Times that did not present Sugiura's results, in my opinion, accurately or fairly. I would say that it didn't convey to the public what my understanding was of the extremely positive nature of his work, plus the fact that, you know, his findings were verified by the pathology department at Memorial. So it wasn't just one man with possibly failing eyesight who's saying that he's seeing metastases or not seeing them. There were five pathologists involved in this test overall, and they verified his work.
And have they come out and defended Dr. Sugiura?
No, they never were asked. Nobody ever interviewed them, and they never voluntarily came forward, to my knowledge.
And then there was a press conference that Sloan Kettering held.
That's right. In June of 1977, it was a press conference to announce the publication of the official negative paper. There was actually two papers on Laetrol, and I wrote the press release for that press conference.
At the same time, you were starting an underground publication called Second Opinion?
Correct.
You publish it anonymously, but right. You must have known that they were going to figure out who was publishing it.
Of course. I mean, I think you hope against hope that you won't get discovered. The minute I went forward publicly with this, I was finished at Sloan Kettering. So I was basically buying time, and maybe I was hoping that, you know, some angel would appear who would rescue this whole situation and put forward the truth about it. But we weren't heading in that direction. But yeah, you know, when you get involved in something, you don't know how it's going to turn out. You just hope that it's going to turn out well.
How did you distribute Second Opinion?
We had a coterie of people, employees and relatives who distributed it. We printed up about 5,000 copies, and we took them in shopping baskets to the main entrances of the institution, and we handed out those copies.
And you say that you became the newspaper for grievances.
Yeah. It sort of
evolved. Was it just Laetrol?
No. There were other issues that people were interested in, had to do with employment issues, I would say.
At a certain point, they must have figured out that you were kind of a double agent.
Well, you know, I had dinner with Robert Good, who was the president of Sloan Kettering, and at one point we had a very nice dinner at 21 of all places, and at one point he turned to me and said, you know, I'm just like you. I said, really? He said, yes, I can be fired and you can be fired. So I don't know if that was some, you know, oblique threat or whatever, but again, you know, when you're inside something, you don't know what's going to happen. You hope that it isn't going to end in a disaster, but you don't really know. There were other scenarios that I could have imagined that maybe would have let me keep my job.
How long before you were fired?
3.5 years from.
So it's a long time.
Yeah.
Did Dr. Sugiura finally accept Sloan Kettering's verdict that Laetrol didn't work?
He did not. No. And even though he said he agrees with the institution at the press conference, but then somebody said, do you stick by your results? And he said, I stick. So I got a letter from him, or my coworker, Alex Prushnicki, got a letter from him a couple of days after I came forward. And he said, your report on my work is extremely accurate. Please accept my sincere congratulations.
But then you held an unsanctioned press conference.
Correct.
In which you criticized your employer. That would have been grounds for dismissal.
Right. I didn't really criticize so much as I said, well, I guess you could call it criticism, sure. I said the things that I'm saying right now.
So your sense of what the truth is that Laetrile can be effective. Is there some conspiracy? And if there is, what would be the incentive for it?
Well, I don't think there was a grand capital C conspiracy because I don't really believe in those things unless you can prove it to me. And I don't see any proof of a grand, when I say grand capital C, meaning some overarching conspiracy to suppress a known cure for cancer.
But although the subtitle of your book is The Suppression of Laetrile.
It was suppressed, without a doubt. But also, conspiracy is a, as I understand it, is getting together to commit a crime. And there was technically no crime involved, but there was an agreement among the top leaders to allow this thing to be destroyed.
And why would they want to suppress it? Simply to go along with the conventional wisdom of the time?
Correct. They had to go along because they were under extreme financial pressure. American Cancer Society and Food and Drug Administration and National Cancer Institute. We know this because there was a letter from Art Holub, who was the executive vice president of the American Cancer Society, to Bob Good in 1974, basically in a threatening tone, saying, I want you to let the ACS handle publicity around Laetrile.
When did Dr. Sugiura die?
He died, I think, in 1979.
In the film, you say that all you wanted was to save an honest man from obscurity. Well, he's one of the creators of chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is controversial in some circles, but
right. It
is still the treatment that seems to work in many cases.
For sure. But
so he is remembered, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. But his reputation was sullied. And I felt it was a question of honor that his reputation be restored to what it deserved to be, because an honorable person had his reputation essentially ruined, or at least you could say he was a great scientist who, at the end of his life, you know, did something foolish, and I don't believe that to be true.
Have you been back to Sloan Kettering since you were fired?
Absolutely. I was back. I was asked to give the grand rounds in the Department of Surgery in 1999, and I went back and did so.
So it was all forgiven?
Well, they told me not, at the end, my host, Bill Fair, who's head of Department of Urology, said, don't talk about Laetrile. So I talked about antioxidants, and nobody beat me up. So I guess, in a sense, all was forgiven. But I'm going back on this Thursday to leaflet again with a new edition of Second Opinion.
And if you thought that you might have an early stage of cancer, would you go to Mexico and get the Laetrile?
No. If I had an early stage of cancer, I'd go to a good cancer institution. I'm not sure I'd go to Memorial Sloan Kettering, but I would go to a good cancer institution and have it either surgically removed or ablated in some way.
Isn't there a fear by publicizing Laetrile now that you might be giving some people false hope?
I don't think so, because I try to make all of my statements to be as accurate and honest as possible. And I don't think you can take animal studies and extrapolate from them to human treatment. So my point is not that everybody should run out and take Laetrile, or anybody should run out and take Laetrile. My point is let's make an accurate assessment of what actually happened in the animal work.
The blurb on the cover of your book is from Robert A. Good, who is the president of Sloan Kettering. He said, Moss was in a position of major trust. He knew my innermost thoughts. Sounds like he's accusing you of betrayal.
Perhaps he was at that time. But he felt that I knew his innermost thoughts. He didn't think it was appropriate for me to then go public with those thoughts. But I think that I needed to, the overarching thing, whether he felt it was a betrayal or anybody else did, was it had reached the point where the truth, from my point of view, had to be told, and I went ahead and did so.
Ralph W. Moss, his book, Doctored Results, The Suppression of Laetrile at Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research. It's published by Equinox. He is featured in a film that opens this Friday at Cinema Village in Manhattan. It's called Second Opinion, Laetrile at Sloan Kettering. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Great pleasure.